What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Tap into the pulse of today's youth here on 411 Teen, this hour when we discuss guns. Joining me are students from Florida High. I welcome Helen Abernathy. She's a ninth grade student and she's into cheerleading.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Fraley Krause, also into cheerleading and is in the 10th grade.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. Shout out to my SGA class.
Sam Abernathy, he is a junior at Florida High, and his interests include ultimate frisbee, soccer, and video games.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Roderick Wilkins. Roderick is a senior. His interests are student government and sports and stepping, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, the debate continues over how to interpret the Second Amendment guarantee of the right of people to keep and bear arms. Every campus shooting reignites the controversial debate. Do guns make us safer? Should student and faculty be allowed to carry concealed weapons onto campus and into classrooms? How do we make campuses safer? Today, there are more than 280 million firearms in private hands in the U.S., and 30% of American households report having a gun at home. Every day, 15 kids die in the U.S. from gunfire. Gunshots are now the leading cause of death of teenage boys in America. What is your position on gun control? How do you feel about it?
I feel like guns shouldn't be allowed on school campuses, period. I feel like if you bring something like that, you're looking for trouble. So we should install like security precautions to eliminate that threat.
Okay. All right. Where do you sit on that, Helen?
I think it's okay to have a gun at the house to protect yourself, but okay, not at school, because like Rod said, you're asking for trouble.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that because, again, you know, we're talking about gun control. How should these guns be controlled and monitored? Now, Fraley, what's your position?
I don't think that students should be able to have them at school because, I mean, you can't really trust every single student that goes to the school, but I think that guns should be implemented in, like, the higher up, like, the people that work at the school, like the principal, the dean, people like that, in case something happens where they have to use the gun.
So what I hear you saying is that the administrators and the teachers should have guns.
Yes, ma'am.
But the students should not have guns. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And Sam, you agree, disagree? Where do you sit?
I mean, I'm kind of on the edge of both because I don't think anyone should have a gun at school. And that just sparks up a whole different controversy of gun control and guns being allowed on campus. And it just sacrifices everyone's security on the campus.
Ah, so do you think guns make you safer?
No, I don't think so because it just, again, sparks up this whole thing about how people use the guns and what can happen when guns are allowed on campus.
Many say that the problem with guns is the gun owners and not the guns. We talk about all this violence that occurs, you know, due to guns, all these young folks that are being killed. And they say it's not so much the gun. It's not the gun that is the problem. It's the people that do the killing. What do you say to that? I mean, do you think it is, you know, the people who do it and that the guns are really, you know, just happen to be there?
And that's a great point. I mean, because it depends on what the person is thinking. You know, like if there's anything mentally wrong with them, what's their motive for doing anything like this? And I don't think anyone in their right mind with any motive would just bring out a gun in school and try to shoot anyone. I just wouldn't think about that.
Okay. What are the rest of you? I want to hear from each of you.
Kind of like Sam said, I think that it's not the gun. Of course, it's not the gun's fault. But I think there should be, like, stricter regulations that people have to go through to obtain a gun. Like, say, if someone has a history of being, like, mentally handicapped or showing signs that they might use a gun for harmful reasons in the future, then obviously they shouldn't be able to obtain a gun because they might use it later to for killing reasons.
You raise a good point, Freddie, and we're going to come back to that about the mental handicap and the mental problems that one may have. Roderick, what do you think?
I also agree with Fraley and Sam that the gun doesn't really make the decision. It's mostly the person who owns it. And I think, like, just to piggyback off what she said, there should be stricter regulations on how to get a gun.
Okay. And we're going to talk about both of those things. And Helen?
I agree with everyone else, too, that it's not the gun, it's the person that does the killing.
Well, one of the things they say is that law-abiding citizens ought to be allowed to protect their families. We ought to be able to keep guns out of the hands of those who shouldn't have them. And that ties right into what you're saying about regulations and whatever. Is it just that simple, though? Okay. I mean, you mentioned those who may have some mental problems or mental illness, okay? So if someone was depressed and had been depressed and had considered suicide, but they're no longer depressed, they haven't had that problem for quite some time, and by that I mean months, okay? Where do they sit? What's the position with them being able to acquire a gun?
I think that's a really controversial issue because, yes, they have a history of showing signs of depression, which means they could probably use a gun for not the right reasons in the future. But just because they have maybe gotten over it doesn't mean that something can trigger that same state that they used to be in, like the same depression that they used to be in. So, I mean, I think that maybe they can go through, like, certain tests or certain qualifications to get a gun, but they'll just have to be monitored pretty, like monitored a lot while they're using the gun.
Okay. I'm, you know, no right or wrong. I just want to hear your position.
I think they should have an explanation to why they want a gun. Like, for instance, I would understand that if they, like, had a family or was, like, worried about their safety. But
what about hunters, even? You know, those who are hunters have guns.
My family hunts, and I know my dad has, like, probably five multiple guns. But I know that he would never use it for the wrong reasons. It's just for hunting.
Right, right. Yeah. But, I mean, so what I'm trying to say is how do we determine, how do we draw the line? In other words, what are the issues when we think about gun control and all the concerns that we may have, pro, con, whatever, what are the issues about gun control from where you sit? Helen.
I think that people don't, like, school shootings, for instance, like, they don't,
they don't take it seriously.
Like, yeah, like, they just don't know, like, what they're doing, because they might have, like, a mental problem or something, but, like, for hunting, for instance, like, I think that's okay to have guns, and to protect, like, yourself if, like, and someone ever came into your house.
Well, you know, the other side of it is many of these mass shootings that we've had, the guns were acquired legally, okay? They didn't get these guns from Joe Blow on the corner, you know, out the trunk of his car, okay? These guns were legal guns of the parents or the teen that owned them, you know, so how do we address that?
And there's nothing really anything that we can do about that. I mean, if a parent has a gun in their house and the kid finds out where it is and takes it and does something bad with it, I mean, you can't really put a law on saying that you are not allowed to have a gun in your house just to prevent your kid from taking that gun and shooting someone.
Should the parent be held responsible or accountable for their child's behavior?
I think yes, because the parents can take precautions, like they can keep their guns in a locked safe or in a locked room where their children won't be able to access it. So I think that if it's in a place where the children can easily reach it or get to it, then that falls on the hands of the parents, that maybe they should have had it concealed better from them.
Okay.
I think it's like more of a half and half. I don't think you should completely put the blame on a parent. I think it should be to an extent, yeah, you should have been, you know, you should have kept that locked up and kept your eye on your kid.
But what about those that kept theirs locked up? I mean, you know, some of these teens, they did not, that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, they may have been locked up, but you know, for every lock, it can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm not talking about the little 2-year-old and 3-year-old kid that gets somebody, daddy's gun out of the drawer, the nightstand. Okay? They can be locked up. If you're 16 or 17 and you want to get it,
you will get it.
You can. Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's who we're talking about. That's the population that we're talking about. And the NRA argues that any restriction on gun ownership infringes on the rights of law-abiding citizens. What do you think about that?
I think that, yes, there's a large percent of the population that follows the law and most likely has no intention of inflicting harm upon people with a gun. But I think the only thing that you can do once a person comes in contact with a gun that is using it for, like, murderous reasons is, like, better protection. Like, maybe don't gear laws on guns, on gun prohibition, but gear the laws towards, like, better safety mechanisms and, like, prevention of deaths.
Okay, all right. Hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm talking with students from Florida High. Again, I have Helen Abernathy and her brother Sam Abernathy, Fraley Krause, and Roderick Wilkins. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return to continue to talk about guns. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. We have been looking at guns and the problem with them. Should we allow them on campus? Right before we went on break, I was going to ask you, is the real question, and I think you brought it up, Fraley, or maybe you brought it up, Roderick, is the real question about access? Because we were talking about having access. Do you think that is the major issue? Because when we look at this gun situation, what is the major issue there?
I guess the major issue is, like, how are they getting it?
Mm-hmm.
And why do they feel the need to use it in such a bad way? I don't know. Sometimes life may be that hard that you feel like you need to, you know, take it into your own hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have suggestions on how we control access? You know, it appears that if you want a gun, you can obtain it legally or illegally, and it can still wreak havoc, so it doesn't matter how you got it. But how do we control this access? I mean, do we control it through restrictions? What, in your opinion, would be the most efficacious way of controlling access?
I think one way a parent could, like, prevent a child from getting the gun is, like, keeping it at a whole different, like, facility or, like, a locker or, like, a storage locker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that the kids don't even have access to where they are.
Okay.
Or they could possibly put an age limit on it, like how they do, I think, cigarettes and other things, like at a convenience store, how you have to be a certain age to buy this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Or possibly put a tax on it to limit people from purchasing it if the tax is too high. may steer some people away from it, may not, but, I mean, it's an option.
Okay.
I agree with Roderick. I mean, you can always up the age limit, but, I mean, they can get it from different ways. Yeah. But the tax idea, you could always raise the price of guns to limit those people who aren't going to be spending like $100 more to just get a gun, shoot someone for their own reason.
Okay.
I agree with the price thing. Like if you raise the price, there could be people that back away from it because it's just not worth that much money. But also I think that a lot of the kids and, I mean, adults as well that are obtaining guns, they're the parents and, like, the people that are selling them to them are most likely oblivious to the fact that they could show signs of being mentally handicapped or having issues that could, like, lead them into shooting. So I think we should probably, like, increase education about probably, like, maybe an interview or something like that, or like a questionnaire before someone actually obtains a gun and gets access to a gun.
I mean, I agree with Fraley on that because you can always, like, you can have it being a certification to hold a gun.
Right.
So not just have anyone who wants to get a gun and have a gun, but you have to get certified and you have to have pass this background check and stuff like that before you do anything bad with it.
Let me ask you something. Do you all think that we as a culture are obsessed with guns and violence? As I mentioned earlier, today there are some 280 million firearms in private hands in the U.S., and about 30% of them, of the American households, report having a gun at home. Now, all of these guns are not legally obtained. You know, many of the guns, you know, the suggestions that you have offered are very valid. They sound like some of them will work, you know, at various degrees of success. But many of the guns are not obtained legally. Okay, so that's an issue. But back to my original question. When you think about our culture, you think about the media, are we obsessed with guns and violence? You know, you look at videos, you look at our video games, you look at, are we just as overwhelmed with violence and guns? And what impact do you think that has on this whole culture?
I think that TV shows and video games definitely have a huge impact on what influences, like, maybe teen killers to go out, because I know on TV shows I've seen there's violence that is so realistic that there's probably people that can go out and recreate it in the real world, which is pretty scary to one that is watching it, because it's just so real and it seems like a situation that could really happen, that it, like, frightens the viewer. So I think the media has a really big impact on people.
I mean, because what message are we sending? I mean, violence permeates American society. And if you see it everywhere you go, what's the message that we're sending? What are we telling? What are we telling young kids?
Violence is okay.
Okay.
And
okay. Go ahead, and then we'll come to you too, Roger. Go ahead.
Well, I guess, like, I agree with Fraley, because you can watch something on TV and then watching it, you get nervous and scared because other people watching it, like, they could totally go out and do that without, like, knowing.
So it depends on the individuals, what I hear you say.
Yeah.
You know, and what their emotional state is and what their attitude is, okay? I mean, because you don't always have to be mentally ill, or do you, to go and shoot up a whole lot of people.
I don't think you have to be mentally ill. I mean, you just have to have your own reason for doing it. It doesn't make you, like, have any mental disease or illness or anything.
Okay.
Like, you could have a grudge against someone or something, or you could just want to be getting revenge, or maybe you have so much anger built up that you just turn to guns and weapons and think that that's an okay decision to make at the time.
Or, you know, maybe it is just even your whole attitude about guns and death and dying. In some cultures, you look at it, we're continually at war here in the United States. And one of the problems we may have in dealing with different cultures is that many of those individuals are willing to die for what they believe in. That's something that Americans, you know, we'll take it to a certain step. But when it comes to, like, laying our life on the line, you know, dying for whatever we believe in, we don't usually take it that far. You know, and I'm thinking about some of the cultures that are going on, some of the wars that are going on in the Middle East, okay? So it might be that. I mean, it might be just our whole culture and our attitude about death and dying is different. I mean, we talk about, you know, the beheadings that are going, that have happened, and how horrible they are, and how could they occur, right? Mm-hmm. In that culture, it's not that big a deal, okay? It sends a message, doesn't it? It has all of America now all worried about ISIS. Every time you turn around, they're worried about ISIS. Of course, you know, we haven't looked at, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah,
we're doing the same thing. Now, maybe we aren't being as ostentatious about it, and we aren't sending a video around showing where we have dropped bombs and we killed whoever happened to be in the way, but innocent people are killed the same way. But we are reacting to them because, oh, how could they do this? They've cut these heads off and they blah, 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 decapitated people. What's the difference?
It's ironic because we're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so back to, are we a culture that's obsessed with guns and violence? Because that's what we were discussing initially, you know. Do you think our culture is obsessed with it?
I don't want to say we're obsessed with it, okay, but I think we've grown to that point where we feel very powerful and, I guess, in charge when you have a gun in your hand and you feel like you can honestly just take this person's life. So I think we should, I guess we have reached that point now because of all the shootings at different campuses and at little schools and elementary schools. So we may have just reached that point where we, I guess, willing to use guns just for any reason and any time and any place.
I mean, now it seems like, now granted, I'm definitely out of it, but now it seems like if you look at me the wrong way, I might blow you away. If you step on my shoes, you know, that's gun-toting time. I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if my perception is wrong, but that sort of seems to be what I see, mm-hmm, and what I hear, the attitude, okay? It's not, we aren't going to have a fight, you know, a fist fight. I'm just going to pull out my gun and blow you away. I don't have to touch you. I don't have to do anything. It's a whole different kind of thing than if you're in a fight with somebody and you're touching them. And you know what I mean? And mm-hmm, whereas with a gun, I can stand away from you and blow you away.
I think that, I mean, boys especially who play all these, like, violent video games like Call of Duty and things like, mm-hmm, that, they get in the mindset where it's, especially, like, when they're in, I guess, in the zone of playing, they get in the mindset where it's okay to shoot. Like, the whole point of the game is to kill as many people as you can. And maybe they go out in the real world and someone says something or someone rubs them the wrong way, and they're just like, oh, it's okay to shoot. I do it every day when I get, mm-hmm, home and play this, mm-hmm, video game.
Good point. So.
And I play Call of Duty, but I don't. I don't
okay,
feel like
Sam
pulling out a gun on anyone.
But there's some people that probably might have an issue.
That video game real estate.
Seriously,
I mean, I like bet younger some kids. People do.
Yeah. Well, some say you'll never get illegal guns off the streets and out of the hands of criminals. The law-abiding citizens should have the right to protect themselves. They should be able to protect their families and themselves. What do you think? You know, because if we have this gun control, you know, those who are really affected, most affected, are the law-abiding citizens. That's particularly, that's why NRA is opposing this, you know. They're saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, we do what we're supposed to do, okay? Our guns are registered and blah, blah, blah. You know, we follow all the protocol. We do everything. So you're going to put these restrictions, and we're going to be the ones who are subject to these restrictions. The people who are getting these guns illegally are still going to obtain them illegally. What do we do?
I think the...
Whose responsibility is it?
The point you just brought up about even if we, like, make getting guns harder, people are still going to buy them illegally. Like, the alcohol prohibition, people still went behind their backs and sold alcohol. Probably more people drank alcohol than they did before. So, I mean, that could be a point to look at, that just because you ban guns doesn't mean you're going to actually get rid of them. But I think, like, the NRA has a good point, because there's a lot of people that use guns for commercial use, like in selling meats and stuff like that. So if you banned guns, it would be really hard for those people that use guns for recreation or commercial reasons, whatever they do, to use them. And so I just think that might not be as just as...
Yeah, raise a good point.
I also think that we should also look at the fact that even though, you know, criminals are getting the guns illegally, that in the, like, more recent times, it's been ordinary citizens that have been doing the shootings and that are supposedly supposed to be law-abiding that are shooting up everything. Mm-hmm.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. Because, you know, again, and I mentioned this earlier, these mass murders that we see committed, you know, someone goes into a movie theater and they shoot up folks. They got these guns legally. How do we address that? I mean, that is really the issue. I mean, the issue is access. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm sure we could walk out of here and any one of us could find a gun if we looked hard enough. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to have, like... And, like, monitoring you to see if you're, like, have any mental condition or anything, because you can always put on a face.
And see, the other thing is mental condition doesn't have to stay with you forever.
Right.
Okay? You might be depressed. You might be suicidal. But once you're depressed or suicidal, do you have to pay with that for that the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't mean that you're suicidal the rest of your life. So how do we address that particular variable? Okay, if we're talking about those who are unstable, those who are volatile, okay, how do we weed them out? How do we screen them? What do we do? Another question that's involved there is confidentiality. How much should you know about my own private health issues? How much does the government need to know? I mean, these are all things, you know, it's not as cut and dried as it may seem, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure all of you have been depressed. We've all been depressed. You know, it's transient. It's not a long time. But, so you were depressed at one point. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to illustrate that.
Yeah.
Because it seems, you know, until you really start thinking about it, it's not as cut and dried as it may appear.
I think what the government should do is first start with the people who have obvious signs of, like, a perennial illness. Like, it's obviously not going to go away. So they should first rule them out as, like, an obvious, like, no, they should not have a gun. But it gets controversial and debatable when you go down to people that say had a depression when they were like a teenager and now they're in their 50s or 60s and they just want a gun to protect themselves or go hunting. So it's hard to determine where that cutoff is for whether you should have a gun or not.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. What do we do? Yeah. That's what we're trying to determine, and I'm glad to appreciate the difficulty there because it's not cut and dry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always that area of you have like a chronic depression, whether you, and depending on you have a stage of depression, is two totally different things. Whether you're in constant depression or you've had your like one depression stage in life, let's say you didn't get into a job that you wanted.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're in depression,
right.
You just get back right up and you go find it again.
Right.
I don't think that you can like judge someone's past. Like, let's say they were depressed, like they didn't get a job. I don't think you can hold that against them at all if they wanted to go get a gun. If they're like, it was a long time ago.
Okay, but who's going to make that call? I mean, you know, we come up with these scenarios, but who really, when it comes to putting it into practice, how do we do that?
You're right. I mean, it's hard to do that. You can't really determine whether or not this person will do anything bad to the gun
mm-hmm.
when they get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very biased because you never can really just say, oh, you deserve a gun, but you don't. You know, you can be very biased that way.
Right, right. And that's what I'm trying to find out. How do we make that determination? What is fair? And then another question I pose to you, and we're going to take a break, but think about it. Whose responsibility is it? Is it the state level or is it the federal level? And we're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. Right now, we're going to take a brief break. We'll return to continue our discussion shortly. What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable are students from Florida High. I welcome Roderick Wilkins, Sam Abernathy, his sister Helen Abernathy, and Fraylee Krause. In the recent shooting at FSU's Strozier Library in November of 2014, three students were injured. One was left paralyzed from the waist down. The gunman, Myron May, was described as in an emotional, psychological crisis, and he was shot and killed by the police when he opened fire on them. Senate Bill 176 was approved along party lines by the Criminal Justice Committee. The House version, HB 4005, passed its first committee in January 2015. The bill would allow people with concealed weapon permits to bring their guns onto campuses of the 12 state universities. Okay? As we look at this whole thing about gun restriction and gun control, as opposed to you right before we went on break, whose responsibility is it? I mean, at what governmental level? Is it the federal level? Is it the state level? Is it the local level? Where does the responsibility lie? Is it all of those?
I think it's more of a state level because I don't think the federal government should be able to decide laws for the entire U.S. There could be, there is other states that have a higher crime rate than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it should be put in the hands of those states to implement laws that have stricter regulations on guns. Say, as another state that doesn't have as high a crime rate can, like, have less strict laws on gun control.
Or even, not even just looking at the crime rate, but maybe looking at the state. I mean, some place like maybe Wyoming or Montana.
Yeah, like North Dakota.
North Dakota. I mean, you know, maybe the laws should definitely be different there. It's a different environment,
mm-hmm.
okay? So, yeah, the state level, that is indeed is valid. I want to hear from the rest of you. Where do you think the responsibility lies? Roderick?
Well, at first I want to understand why they would put in a place that, I guess, law, you want to call it, to allow students to bring.
There's some that are really feeling that students should have a right to protect themselves. Like when that shooting that occurred at Strozier not long ago, you know, that maybe, I guess they're feeling that maybe if somebody had a gun, they may have been able to stop them. I can't answer that. Okay,
putting more people in risk by bringing more guns to campus.
That's a good point. I mean, but they are moving gung-ho ahead. I mean, you all are smiling. Nobody can see you smiling but me. But really, they're moving ahead, and they're really feeling very strongly that students should be allowed to carry concealed weapons on campus. Do you think it would make you feel safer?
Not at all.
I'm more worried that I can easily just bump into you, and because you got a gun on, you can really just shoot me because I bumped into you.
I don't think I would go to a college that allowed guns at the campus.
Is that something? I mean, you're a senior, okay? No, you're a senior. You're a junior. I saw that look on you. You're a senior. I mean, would you apply to a school that, is that something that you would consider in your application process?
Now I would have to consider that as a check mark. Or no, I don't really want to go there because I may need to have a gun myself just to protect myself.
Like the Wild West?
Yes. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But I mean, it is a reality, for real. I mean, it is, we're laughing, but it is a reality. Okay. What should then be the criteria for legal gun ownership, from where you sit? What do you think we should have? What should be some of the criteria for legal gun ownership? I mean, should it be an age? Should you have completed a course? I mean, what do you think is some of the criteria?
I mean, I think you should have completed a course or get a certification. Okay. You could always raise the age limit.
Okay. I mean, what do you think is a valid age for gun ownership? Because even when you're in college, you're still...
Like, what if you get drunk one night and you have a gun?
Yeah.
I mean, many things could possibly go wrong.
Right.
So I think you should at least raise the age limit out of the college level.
Okay, so what would you... I mean...
To, like, 25, maybe.
Okay. All right. What else?
Yeah, I agree with Sam. Probably 25 is like a good cutoff age. And also, I think maybe there should be like...
But what about those folks who like your dad,
yeah,
who's into just hunting, wants to teach his son how to hunt?
Then that they can, I mean...
Well, I mean, I'm just throwing all these little scenarios out here because it's, again, I emphasize that we really have to take it to the next step. It's not as simple as it seems. Okay. Well, so if we say 25, what about that dad who has a love for the outdoors, loves hunting?
I think that, like, you can have, like, as an adult, you can have a gun, but you can also let your children borrow the gun to, like, go hunting or something, not to, like, anywhere else, but, like, with them. Like, you can... They can have the gun, but they have to be with you, and then not.
Okay, setting up restrictions.
Yeah, it's like hunting use.
Yeah, it's like getting
learners. When you're 15, you have to drive with someone over the age of 21. Like, it can be the same for guns. In order to use a gun, there has to be someone, like, 25 and older present.
Okay.
And it can be, like registered for hunting or something like that, not, like, concealed weapon carry. Yeah. Yeah.
What about background check?
That's a good point, too, because what if someone, you know, like, there's just so many things that could go wrong with a person that if you had no background check and they have all this history of bad things and without knowing anything and they just give them a gun, then they can just do the same bad things that they've done.
What about someone who has a history of having a mental illness? I won't elaborate anymore. Someone who has a mental illness. They have a history of having a major mental illness.
I would say first, why do you want a gun?
Oh, okay. So you want to know why. Yeah. But, I mean, they could tell you anything.
They could.
Roger said, yep.
They really could. But it's
I mean, is that enough?
It's hard to put a restriction on that because you never really know, honestly, what they can do with it. It can not just be a mentally handicapped person. It could be a regular person that's saying he liked hunting all of a sudden, and he really using it for other purposes. So
I think that, like, they can, like, they should have, like, some sort of test to go through to make sure that, like, you're, like, mentally stable and not but also, like, if you do have a mental problem, you could tell the person that you're buying a gun, and you could put on a face, and they won't even know that you do.
Yeah, but would you want to divulge that kind of information about yourself? That's really private information about if you have a mental illness.
I think you should put that out there because it can be harmful for other people.
Yeah, but also, what about your confidentiality and the possibility of being discriminated, you know, against because of you had this condition? And, again, I think the big thing is confidentiality. Once you put that out there, everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put it on an application, it goes into a file in the computer, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing it out there for you. Now, while you're thinking about it, Fraley, you said your dad has guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've grown up with guns in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about the rest of you? What kind of exposure have you had to guns?
Never shot a gun or seen a gun.
You never seen a gun, okay.
I've gone hunting like once or twice, but that's it. Our dad or mom don't own any guns. It's only our family friend that have a gun.
Okay.
Well, I know my dad has a gun locked up for safety, and he's like shot one like for like New Year's Eve, but like, you know, shot in the air, I guess. But other than that, that's the only experience I've had.
Have you had any friends or family members who have been, you know, victimized with guns?
Not really, no.
I can't. I'd have
no
experiences with that.
Okay. Just wondered because they talk about so many people have been exposed to guns. We only have a few minutes left, and there's some other aspects that I would like us to look at. What about the impact of sports and violence? And do you think this influences one's attitude? I mean, football is very violent. Do you think someone who plays sports is very active in violence should own a gun? What impact could this have on their personality? You think it influences their attitude? And the reason I'm saying this, you know what's been in the forefront with these football players and all this domestic abuse. So that's where this is coming from. You know, and some are saying that look at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what they do every day. This is how they relate. This is who they are. Okay? So do you think that transcends and carries over to their everyday life?
I think it does because football players are, like, trained every single day to beat. I mean, we talked about this in my AP language class. Like, football players are trained to just, like, get the hardest hit on their opponent and hit your opponent to the ground as hard as you can. And I'm sure some football players are taking drugs or, like, testosterone to make them bulk up or whatever. And I think I'm pretty sure that testosterone, like, has an effect on you to where you can be more aggressive at times. And maybe, like, their fuse is shorter. So you can, like, if you say something, one wrong thing to a football player, this person who's been taking, like, performance-enhancing drugs, that they can have a higher likelihood of using a weapon. So I think that, like, sports and football does have a big impact on the access to guns.
Okay. What do you think, Rod? Do any of you play sports? You all cheer for sports.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if this is, like, to relate, but I don't know if could we relate high school football? I don't know. In a sense, but
well,
I know
your head is still getting banged around.
Yeah.
You know, even at the high school level, people have concussions.
Yeah.
You know, that has an impact on their behavior and their perception and all of that. So,
yeah, I know like many of my friends on the football team, and I don't see them in that. I've never seen them get really aggressive like that. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen them turn it on in a game and know how to turn it off. So I guess some football players need to find that balance of when you need to turn it on and turn it off. Because sometimes, I guess, if you, I guess, leave it on, it come home with you, too. So.
Well, that's you know, in essence, that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, if you live that world, you live in that world, you just can't turn it off and turn it on. Mm-hmm. That it, you turn it on and you have various degrees of it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're more so down there on that field, but when you come home, you still got some of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're saying. That's at least one perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But back to the guns and the violence. How do we, in these last few minutes, how do we control guns? Particularly, how do we control the access of guns to those who are criminals and those who are mentally ill?
That's, I mean...
I can't believe this. I have you all, you don't have anything to say, and we have plenty of things to say.
Well,
no, but it just makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I think there's really no true solution that can satisfy either crowd of how to stop that. I mean, of course, we can say do this, do that. There's always a loophole to around this and around that, so it's hard to, you know, set in stone a law that would satisfy, like, guns and how we should get them and how we use them to really be effective, because there's always a way around anything,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
Because if you want a gun, you're going to get it, either legally or illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to put restrictions on stuff like that, especially for criminals or people who have mental illnesses or something like that.
So then should we just have across-the-board stringent gun control laws? That way we might. I don't think we really will, but... That way we might address some of those who aren't supposed to. Because I kind of agree with you, Roderick. I think if somebody wants to get a gun, they're going to get a gun.
Right.
That's just what I think. I mean, yeah, of course we have to have some laws in place, but I don't see how we're going to control gun access, particularly to criminals and the mentally ill. Because there's so many guns out there that are available through illicit avenues.
Yeah, I think definitely with criminals, I mean, obviously you can, like, implement a law that says if you have a criminal history, you cannot be able to get a gun.
Mm-hmm. But then, not to interrupt you, but what kind of criminal history?
Yeah, because like petty theft. I mean, I don't think that should... That's an actual thing. I don't think that should, like, fall under the category of... But then that raises, like, a debate. Like, should it or should it not fall under the category of, like, a criminal record of...
Yeah, because then it could be like, why are you stealing, like, lip gloss? You can pay for lip gloss?
Yeah, like, right. If, say you stole a pack of gum. Oh, you can't get a gun because when you were 15 years old, you stole a pack of gum. It's like a hard debate to argue in favor for.
Yeah, because if we're going to look at criminal history, which indeed should be a variable, where do we draw the line there?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were involved in drug trafficking, maybe you never had any gun at all, but should that prevent you from getting a gun? I mean...
It's like back and forth. You really can't win either way with either solution or... Because it's always going to be, like, somebody that can get around it. Or you really can't satisfy the people that have guns. And you're trying to make it harder for everybody. And you, like, put restrictions on them.
Do you, as we close, do you feel that guns make you feel safer? Do you feel like having a gun would make you safer?
Not personally, because I would just be scared someone would, like, take it from me and then... kill me with my gun. Like,
I mean, yeah, like
that's just scary to me.
It brings up, like, what if you have a gun in the house and then you get robbed and the robber takes the gun? I mean...
That's a valid concern.
And I know being around guns, they're really intimidating. So even, like, aside from crime rate, it can cause a lot of accidental injuries, too, because I know like one, the pull of, like literally just the pull of a trigger can set off a bullet and probably potentially kill someone. So,
okay, well, many thanks to you all. I appreciate you taking the time to kind of share and explore and dissect this whole issue. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.